Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Oh, the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel.
Tom Wolpat, star of stage, screen, and television, will perform in the Van Dyke in Schenectady tonight for two shows in support of his latest album, I've Got Your Number. The album pays homage to the big band Mad Men era, with Wolpat performing classics from the Great American Songbooks, as well as some contemporary songs as well. Probably best known for a starring role in the hit television series The Dukes of Hazzard, he's been getting raves on Broadway with such shows as Annie Get Your Gun and Catered Affair. He received Tony Award nominations for both, as well as roles in Chicago, 42nd Street, Sondheim on Sondheim, and most recently, The Trip to Bountiful, starring Cicely Tyson. It is a great pleasure to welcome Tom Wolpat to Studio A this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. It's wonderful to have you here. You know, the last time I saw you was in Trip to Bountiful, and that was one of those nights in the theater that you feel like you were just part of something really, really, really special.
Well, it's a beautiful piece to begin with, and we had Horton Foote's daughter was working on it with us, Hallie. And working with Cicely was just a treat. She's an amazing talent, and the power that she can bring to the stage is remarkable. From my point of view, I mean, I wasn't in the piece until almost the end, but I have a really nice, I kind of deliver her to her destination.
You have a beautiful scene.
It is really beautiful, and it's the thing where she's been striving through the whole play to get to back to her home, and I finally get her there. I play a sheriff who actually represents her final barrier, but I turn around and take her there. And it was so that, you know, the whole thing just kind of exhales when we get to the final scene. And it was beautiful. It was a lot of fun.
Having seen you in Annie Get Your Gun as well as in Chicago, it seems to me that though that you would look for a musical role, but when something like this comes by, you say, okay, that's fine.
Well, I had an experience, I guess, 10 years ago, doing Glengarry Glen Ross. Mm. And that was a situation where my agent pitched it to me because it was a small part. It's a small part like in Trip to Bountiful. It was actually a little bigger than the part in Trip to Bountiful. But it was significant and important, and it got me a lot of attention for acting, which I'd not really gotten that much attention for. And so I kind of learned my lesson. If there is a really nice dramatic piece that has something where I can shine, even if it's just for a small period of time, it's worth doing. And that was definitely worth doing.
So we mentioned the album, I've Got Your Number, and we played a cut coming in. And it's a beautiful album.
It's
gorgeous. And but it's a little bit of everything, isn't it?
Well, what we've tried to do, I mean, originally when I started recording this type of music, I had been in the country music field before that. And then when we were doing Annie Get Your Gun, they asked me, while we were making the cast album, if I'd like to do a jazz record. And I said, well, certainly. I mean, I'd been hearing this music all my life and grew up listening to it. And the American Songbook is that for a reason. It's the best music of the 20th century, really. And so when we started doing it, we kind of looked at the template of Diana Krall, where she does a bulk of standards, but then takes some contemporary tunes and gives them a jazz twist as well. So that's basically what we do. Like on this record, there's probably 7 or 8 standards, maybe 5 contemporary tunes, and then 2 original songs that I wrote.
And that's, it seems like a nice mix. I mean, when you play it from start to finish, which I realize isn't the way people, most people listen to
unfortunately
music anymore. No, I, like this, to
we
me,
spend a lot of time putting together a sequence, I'll tell you what.
To me, I mean, it just, my car ride of the beginning to the end is a beautiful album because it tells a story.
Oh, thank you.
But that's a nice mix, and you'll be bringing a trio to the Van Dyke,
right?
And which is that what's on the? Do you have a little bit more on the CD? Musically, is it more than a trio?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
On the CD, you're basically listening. We tried to go for the kind of big band orchestra hybrid, so we had 9 horns and 12 strings, and you know, one of the cool things about it is that the musicians, after they've played this stuff, especially the string players, they say, you know, this is what we came to New York for, was to play in these type of records, you know, not to sit in the pit at Wicked. But having said that, everybody got to make a living,
right? And yes, and if you know you got a check coming, then we'll sit in the pit at Wicked.
And what we'll do in a record is we'll have everything from the full band, you know, that's added up to about 30 pieces altogether.
Wow.
And then there's a couple of things. I think there's one with just piano. And we do that. I'm not sure on this record. I know there is on the last CD. There's one thing that's just piano.
As you were coming in, I asked you if there was one particular track that you liked that we could listen to for a few seconds and talk about that you were especially proud of. And you said, The Folks Who Live on the Hill.
Well, this is arranged by a very good friend of mine who's a homeboy. He's from Hudson Falls.
Oh.
Yes.
Washington County.
Ted Firth.
Shout out. Oh, I know Ted.
You know Ted?
I do know Ted.
Yes. Well, I sang this at his wedding reception.
Wow.
Yes. So that's when I learned the tune. And we were looking for something. And he puts a little left-handed twist on it in his arrangement.
Let's get a taste of this from, it's The Folks Who Live on the Hill from Tom Wopat's new CD, I've Got Your Number.
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. Someday we may be adding a thing or two, a wing or two. We'll make changes as any family will, but we will always be called the folks who live on the hill.
That has just an incredible lushness to it.
Well, you know, we kind of went for that, and I can't say enough about his arranging skills. He's an amazing accompanist and a terrific jazz piano player as well. And but his arranging has grown by leaps and bounds since he first did stuff for me about 10 years ago. I think the best recording of that is probably Peggy Lee.
Hmm.
She does a remarkable version of it, and that's kind of what I went to school on.
When you think of your sound, you've played with that, right? I mean, because there is there's sort of the Broadway, there's the Broadway type, the Broadway standard, and then there, you mentioned country and jazz. It's all many influences.
Well, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, you'd hear it all on one radio station,
right.
Kinda, you know, before everything got so fragmented. And so I've been exposed to that stuff all my life. I think the Broadway and the standards, you know, jazz standards, I think there's a lot of crossbreeding in there. There's a lot of shared genetics in that those types of music. So what it's become is that, you know, I've always looked at myself as not necessarily the greatest of singers, but I like to interpret songs, and I like to try to really express what the song means to me, and hopefully the listener will be able to pick up on that and you know, get their own read of the song, but it should have a real point of view. That's what I'm looking at.
So what do you look for when you think of your next project? Do you always have an eye toward the stage, or is it just whatever?
No, actually, the reason I'm laughing is I'm looking for Christmas tunes, because I'm doing an album with John Schneider. We're making a Christmas record.
Well, that'll be fun. Have you two recorded before?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've already got a couple of things in the can, and we're right now choosing the rest of the material.
Of course, he was your co-star in Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes, he's insane. He has no filter. I'm the adult in the room. It's so sad.
Now, he also has had quite a Broadway run as well.
He's done some Broadway stuff, and he's had, back in the day, again, he was a big country star for a while. He had some big hits. But we've been doing some shows together, some live shows, and I've been kicking around the idea of a Christmas record for a long time. And it is a lot of fun working with him. And actually, we have a little TV time coming up back in the car. We did an ad campaign for a company that's going to be probably start hitting the air about May or June.
That's great.
It's going to be a little ridiculous.
do you look upon? Let me geek out for a moment on Dukes of Hazzard. It is you know, I grew up on that show.
I
love that show. And it was such a part of my childhood. It was such a part of that time period. And I would imagine you just hear that all the time, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was something that really dominated my formative years, actually. You know, I mean, I went to New York when I was 26. I got cast in Dukes at the age of 27. John was 18.
Wow. Is that true?
He was right out of high school. Yeah. Wow. A callow youth. I tried to raise him as best I could, but it just didn't take. But no, it was a lot of fun. I hear from a lot of folks, and you know, it's become, at this point, it's a part of pop culture.
Yeah.
And you know, to the extent that Quentin Tarantino called and put me in his last movie in Django.
In Django.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was a trip. That was a lot of fun working with him.
Is when you think of, because the show still holds up. I mean, it's entertaining.
It's
very fun.
It's self-contained, and even though it's dated, it does, inside itself, it's fairly well-constructed.
When you look back on it, and I assume by the fact that you're still working with John today, that when you look back on it, that it's with fondness?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, looking back is the key phrase.
Yeah.
I basically try to stay looking forward as much as I can, and with... You know, the success I've had with the Broadway shows and now with recording and hopefully a lot more live performance, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of things coming up. But I do look back on it fondly.
And that's where I was going with the earlier question about, you know, the next project. And you had mentioned the Holiday album. But what is it when... Are you always looking for a good show? Are you always looking for a good stage project?
Well, my agents do that.
Yeah,
because it's not like I can ask to be involved, really.
Right.
It's not the way it works, and especially these days. Pretty much, it's they keep an eye out for me, and when they see something appropriate, and they talk to the casting director, and we've got a couple friends in that business.
So it's not a matter of what you would like to do.
No.
It's a matter of what's out there.
I can always say no.
Yeah.
And at this point, with the Broadway thing, since I've kind of aged out of the leading man part of things in general, especially in musicals, you know, I don't really have much interest in doing a small part that's not significant. just to be in a show. I that's not what I'm doing. It's a lot more fun being out there with the trio, like tonight. And I went and saw The Room last night at the Van Dyke.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun. We need to pack the place out because it's going to be a party.
You get two shows. You get 7 and 9:30
right.
at the Van Dyke Lounge in Schenectady. And if, if you've never been there, it's a gorgeous place.
And the food's great.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go. So go and you got a show, again, a 7 and 9:30. And if you go to Van Dyke Lounge, and if you're unfamiliar with the Dutch spelling, it's D-Y-C-K. VanDykeLounge.com. And we also have a link on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, and you can find out more information about the gig tonight, 7 and 9:30. And then you're doing a couple of these around. I mean, is this, you're touring around?
Well, what I'm trying to do at this point is try to get some of these clubs, some of these smaller clubs, and to where I can come back every 6 months or a year and keep building an audience, and because we like to play, and anything within driving distance of the city is kind of beauty. That it works a lot better than flying.
Absolutely.
So we're playing here. We got another one down in Annapolis. We're playing in Westchester, and then we got one in Maine this month. So we're moving around quite a bit.
And what can people expect? It's a good hour and a half of
about 90 minutes, but it's fun packed. I never really know what I'm going to say in between songs. I don't really script anything, so, and it can be fairly irreverent. We have a lot of fun, and they're the best. You can make the case these guys are the best players in the world. The jazz musicians from New York are top notch. And come and see Ted Firth, the hometown boy.
That's great. Well, it's Tom Wopat at the Van Dyke tonight, Van Dyke in Schenectady. And again, it's Van Dyke Lounge, VANDYCK, lounge.com, or check out the link on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. The new CD is beautiful. It's I've Got Your Number. Tom Wopat, what a pleasure to have you in the studio. Have a great time tonight. And when you come back in 6 months, I hope you come back.
Expect to see you there, Joe.
Can't wait. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Don't ask me. I won't dance. Don't ask me. I won't dance, madam, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things they should do. You know what? You're lovely. So what? You're lovely. Oh, what you do to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. I feel so absolutely stumped on the floor. When you dance, you're charming and you're gentle. Especially when you do the continental. But this feeling isn't purely mental. For heaven rest us, I'm not asbestos. And that's why I won't dance. Why should I?